Can we turn, please, to Joshua chapter 8 and that passage that I read earlier in the service? There is an old saying that originated in the 17th century, and it's this: actions speak louder than words. Now, one thing you know about Joshua, he's a man of God, of course he is, we know that, but he's not a man to let the grass grow under his feet. And you get there, don't you, again in verse 10. Then Joshua rose up early in the morning. He gets up early. He's ready to start the day. He doesn't have a lion. He doesn't wait for someone to bring him a cup of tea. He gets up early. And he doesn't just wander around doing nothing. He begins to make sure everything is right. He mustered the people and went up, he and the elders of Israel, before the people to Ai. So he starts his day by inspecting the people, checking that all was in readiness for the assault on the city of Ai. And notice how we read there's not any hint of murmuring and complaining, anything like that. The people complied and carried out his orders. It must have been a blessing for him. Nobody murmuring. Nobody complaining. Nobody disputing with their suggestions and that. They trusted that Joshua knew what he was doing, because Joshua was following the Lord. Now notice he splits his forces. He puts 5,000 in one place, and he puts the rest in another place. I wonder how the people of Ai, if they saw the whole force together, armed, ready for battle, whether they'd have actually come out and risked a battle themselves. Maybe it would have meant a siege, or something similar to what happened at Jericho. But Joshua has the Lord's enabling, and he sought the Lord. He's got the plan from the Lord. He knows what he's going to do for the Lord. There's a lesson there for us. We face many battles. Perhaps not physical ones like he's going to face here at Ai. But there may be battles. There may be battles with relationships in the family. There may be battles with friends and neighbours over what we believe. There may be battles over what we're allowed to do under the law. There may be all sorts of things coming. Battles with illness. Battles with cancer. Battles with death and dying. We need the Lord's enabling in all these things. And with his enabling in all these things, we will get through. Now, he sends off a group to go out on the flanks of Ai. And set them in an ambush. And so off they go. He's given them orders. He's told them exactly what they've got to do and when to do it. And he stays with the larger group. And because, no doubt, he had other things that he needed to do. And it was right. He is the leader. And it is right that he should go with the main force or part of the army. And one thing his presence would do to them, it would help to maintain their morale. Remember, they'd suffered a terrible defeat from the men of Ai, not that much in the past. They'd seen what had happened because of the sin of Achan. They'd seen how Achan had been dealt with and judged. And I'm sure just having Joshua there is someone that was there. And that's what we want, isn't it? We want people for us who are there. Not just talkers, but doers. And isn't it good when somebody says, I'm there for you. And Joshua was there for them. And no doubt his presence would inspire them with courage and confidence. What do we do? Well, surely we look as Joshua did. Joshua looked to the Lord. Now, one thing that Joshua didn't have, that we have, is the completed Word of God. And if you look through the Word of God, you will come to many promises that the Lord has made for his people. And we need to read them and apply them. And look to the Lord's precious promises. Look to the Lord's enabling grace. And again, notice here with the army. There's no slackness. No lazing about. Everybody had a part to play, and everybody played their part. You see, one thing about Joshua you can say, there's no casualness about him. And when we look for a leader, we don't want somebody who's casual, who'll take it or leave it. Let this go, let that go. We want a man like Joshua, man of discipline, man of courage, man of fortitude, and above all, a godly man. And so he comes along and he places the people in their correct ranks. You see, each man was in his right place. And he ministered. He didn't do this just on his own. Because it tells us there that he and the elders of Israel. So he worked alongside. He was in charge, and they knew that. But he ministered in cooperation with tribal elders. And again, there's a lesson there today, isn't there, about shared leadership. Yes, you have a leader. But a good leader knows when and who to delegate and listens and leads. And here Joshua and the elders lead from the front. The women, the children, the other non-combatants, they're left at Gilgal. It's the soldiers that go up and come near to the city. And their fears have been overcome. The army is now willing to follow Joshua and his leadership. And it tells us there, isn't it? And the people of war who with him went up and drew near, and they came before the city and camped on the north side. They were ready. They were ready to go, ready to move out at the right time. Notice there's nothing hurried here. There's no rushing about and panicking. Was it more haste, less speed? There's such an orderly disposition of Joshua's forces, the way that he's arranged them. And once again, we see the thoroughness of Joshua's preparation. And there is no excuse and no substitute for preparation for when we serve the Lord in whatever task it is. And remember, all this is being done in darkness, ready for action in the morning. And the task of those that are put to one side on the flanks, they've got obviously the instructions of what to do when Joshua tells them to go into the city. But while they're there at the place, they have a twofold task there. They cut off any possibility of Bethel sending reinforcements to Ai, and also to cut off the escape route from Ai to Bethel. See, Joshua takes every precaution and spares no effort to ensure victory. Surely a lesson for us. If we need to have victory in our Christian lives, it takes effort to get there. And we, likewise, are to use all the means that are at our own disposal to carry out the Lord's will and the tasks that He would have us do. And so they're now in position, and they will stay there, remain there until the morning. But there's no ease given to the troops. They're there, they're alert, they're ready. Because you don't know what might happen, do you? So there is a need for continued alertness, and the same for ourselves. We need to be alert for everything that comes in, the so-called new movements that come into the Christian church, and the reasons given for them. And we need to investigate them. We need to look at them, seek the Lord's guidance, and ask for His wisdom, ask for His discernment. And you can see so much of what it is just spurious. Continual alertness. And perhaps, no doubt, in this window of waiting, there was time for prayer with the Lord. Now, morning comes, and the people of Ai see Joshua and his army. Now, remember, a few days before, the people of Ai beat Joshua's army. They ran away from them. And no doubt, they're full of confidence because of that victory that they had then. And they perhaps see, here they come again. Here's Joshua and his army coming again. Do you know, it's a challenge to us. We sorted them out last time, we'll sort them out this time. They got up early as well. It seems that they were eager for battle as well. What you might call a dawn attack. And so they leave the city and they go out to fight Israel. Now remember, the king of Ai has no idea of these men that have been placed on the side of the city. He's no idea about that. This king was careless and he was overconfident. And of course, I'm sure the Lord himself had blinded his mind. We read in Proverbs 21 and verse 1. The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. Like the rivers of water, he turns it wherever he wishes. And again, it's a demonstration, an example, that the Lord has full control over the wicked. We wonder, don't we, what will happen here? What will happen there? What about this meeting between the two dictators of Russia and North Korea? So what? The Lord has it all in his hands. We don't have to worry. What's going to be the outcome of the war in Ukraine? Yes, we're concerned. We could the suffering and that, but the Lord has it in his hands. And so it goes on. The war in Israel and Palestine. And what is it? Another 100 and some odd wars that are going on around the world at this time, which we never hear anything about on the news. But the Lord has it all in his plans and his purposes. He has full control over the wicked. And here we have an example here with this king of Ai and his troops of the Lord overseeing and enabling the wicked to carry out the Lord's will and the Lord's purposes. An instance here of the power of God in making men blind to their own interests and unaware of the danger they're in. Joshua's army pretended to be filled with fear. And instead of standing firm against the men of Ai, they gave ground and fled them. Joshua and all Israel made as they were beaten before them and fled by the way of the wilderness. They gave the impression that they feared a second assault by the men of Ai. And as it says there, they fled towards the wilderness. And let's be honest, for these men, this is the army of God, remind you. It must have been distasteful and degrading for them to run away. But it was necessary for the plan to succeed. And sometimes we may have to act in circumstances that upset us. The people obeyed the orders from Joshua, and they didn't murmur about retreating from the enemy because of the confidence they have in this man. And success is given to Joshua's ruse. Everyone in the city of Ai is called to join in the pursuit. And it tells us there in verse 16, and they pursued Joshua and were drawn away from the city. Everyone there in that city of Ai is going to join in this apparent defeat of their enemies. And this will make the task of those on the side even easier. And again, we are to remember this, that the Lord is in all these things. The city has now been left unprotected. It's completely defenseless. It's interesting that the capture of Jericho and the capture of Ai are the only cities captured in Canaan which are recorded in great detail. They are there as much as anything as an example of the conquest of Canaan. So you have twofold aspect here. You have the work of the Lord and you have the work of the people of Israel. And every man in Ai was sent after the fleeing Israelites. No one was left to guard or defend the city. A bad mistake, blinded by pride and obstinacy. Everyone in Ai was against the people of God. And today, spiritually speaking, everyone in the world today is against the believer. Some we meet are very kind. Some we meet are very generous. Some we meet are very well disposed in general terms. But underneath, so many are antagonistic to spiritual things. And then Joshua makes a sign. Verse 18. Then the Lord said to Joshua, stretch out the spear that is in your hand towards Ai, for I give it into your hand. And Joshua stretched out the spear that was in his hand towards the city. Now, I want to just imagine you have all these people, and most of them probably got spears. They had you tell one spear from another at a distance. Because remember, he's going to give a signal to the group there on the outside. Well, perhaps there was a flag or a special pennant that identified this is Joshua's spear. And of course, Joshua was a very recognizable person. So he can, and his spear can easily be seen. And he carries out this action when he receives a word from the Lord. Not a moment before and not a moment afterward. And it was a sign to both groups. Those that were running away, turn round and come back. Those that are in an ambush, go in the city. And it's a clear sign that Joshua and his army were going to defeat the enemy. It was a sign, firstly, to stop the flight, and a sign also to turn on their pursuers. And it was a sign to those waiting in the flanks to go into the city. It was a sign, most of all, that the Lord was with them. The man, or rather the men, placed in the ambush party, do their task. They go into the city of Ai, and as it says there, they hurry to set the city on fire. The fire will tell their other brethren that they're in position, and it also tell the men of Ai that there's people behind them and their city is taken. The people in Ai will be in utter consternation. It says, and when the men, this is verse 10, 20, when the men of Ai looked behind and saw, and behold, the smoke of the city ascended to heaven, so they had no power to flee this way or that way, and the people who had fled to the wilderness turned back on the pursuers. They're in absolute panic, absolute consternation. They could see behind them that their city was captured. It was a light. And they were in the midst of their foes. The men were coming out of the city of Ai. This is the Israelite men. And the soldiers that were at one time fleeing, have they turned round and they're caught between two forces. And of course they also knew that their women and children were also in the hands of their enemies. And they were totally unable to make any real resistance. It says that they had no power to flee this way or that way. They were helpless. And now when Joshua and all Israel saw that the ambush had taken the city and that the smoke of the city ascended, they turned back and struck down the men of Ai. And then the others came out of the city against them, so they were caught and some on that side and struck them down. so they let none of them remain or escape. They slew the men of Ai. Now you have to remember, these men were Canaanites of the worst sort. You say they're caught in between two forces, those that have suddenly turned on them and those that have come out from the city who have set it on fire. And it ends up with a complete victory. And let none of them remain or escape. Now we'll come to what happened to the king of Ai at another time. But you notice here, complete victory. And they got their complete victory because they followed the Lord's instructions. They didn't want to do it on their own. They would have made a mess. And it's only, I think, in the next chapter when they start thinking of themselves, they make a mess for the Gibeonites, don't they? You see, when we start thinking that we can run our own lives on our own ideas, or our families, or our churches, then things go wrong. Whereas we are those who would seek to base our lives, our families, our churches on the Word of God, then the Lord will be with us. We will have to go through hard times, no doubt. But we will have complete victory. I mentioned her this morning, our dear friend Jackie, that went to be with the Lord last Tuesday morning. She now has complete victory. Death has lost its sting. That sting was taken away when the Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross at Calvary. For her. She went to heaven because she trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as her Lord and Saviour and sought to serve him as best she could. And she served him brilliantly. But it's because she trusted Christ. She didn't follow the dictates of how to have a happy life from many of the gurus that we hear about today. She looked to Jesus. And Jesus gave complete victory on the cross. And he offers that to every person that will come in true faith and repentance and what he accomplished on that cross. People are prepared to repent of their sins. People are prepared to look in faith to the cross and to what Jesus did there. And God in his grace and mercy comes in and saves them. But of course we know the Lord Jesus Christ didn't stay in the tomb. Complete victory meant rising from the grave. And of course today he's in glory. What a blessing it must have been for dear Jackie on that Tuesday morning to wake up and see the face of Jesus. Oh, we weep when we heard about her death. But there's joy, isn't there? To joy that she's with the Lord she loved and served. And that's true, I hope, for all of us to see. When the time comes, when the Lord says, I want you home. And when we talk to people and we have the opportunity to share the gospel, we have to say it is only through the Lord Jesus Christ can you have complete victory. Only in Christ. All other ways, all other religions will lead you down the garden path to hell. But Jesus, faith in Jesus will put you on the narrow road that leads to heaven. And although we don't know complete victory in this life, we have our ups and downs and we have our battles and so on. But you know where we're going, don't we? We know we're saved. We know we're in Christ. And we know whatever he calls us to do, and give us the means and the enabling to do it. So may we be comforted ourselves as we contemplate how the Lord enabled the people of Israel to take the city of Ai. The battles that we face, He'll enable us. And the greatest battle, perhaps, is when we face death. But with Christ, we win the victory through Him. Well, may the Lord add His blessing to His word this evening.